Hello from Valley Baptist Church in Eureka, Montana. Valley Baptist Church is an independent Baptist church serving the greater Eureka, Montana area. Pastor Matt Schrepfer is the pastor. His wife, Juanetta, serves along his side.
Good morning, everyone. Valerie will be playing a couple of verses for us. And let's take a seat and prepare our hearts for the service ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Jesus is coming again. Did you know that? Yeah, he is. Let's sing about that. 589, please. Joshua, please lead us. Joshua. Well, welcome everyone. It's good to gather together. Let's pray in just a moment. There will be a few that we'll be praying for in our time as we begin. And then there are a lot of announcements. So let's go before God's throne. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your incredible grace to us that you have opened access to your throne of grace through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we who believe in him have this privilege at any moment to come before you in prayer. And Lord God, I do thank you that you are in our midst. We realize you have said where we're gathered together, you're in the midst also. And Lord, I ask you that in every aspect of this time together, we would worship you. You deserve our worship and honor and glory, for you are righteous and holy and perfect and just, and you love us in spite of ourselves. And Father God, I ask you that you would work in our lives today, that as we open your word, the Holy Spirit would have free course in our minds and hearts, and that you would change the way we conduct our lives. Our behavior would be pleasing in your sight. Also, Heavenly Father, that we can have a special joy anticipating the return of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious hope that we have. And Lord, I know that there may be spiritual needs among us today. All of us do have spiritual needs in one way or another. Father God, I ask you that those who need to make sure of their eternal salvation will make sure of that today. For your honor and glory, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
I think the ladies have a chorus they'd like to sing for us that was part of the theme.
I would like to ask Joshua to lead us in maybe today. 582.
Let's sing, I think the first and last will do well with this. Let's sing the first and last of 582.
Thank you.
Let's all stand for our scripture reading. Take up our Bibles. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Mark's
off. Until Tom's back, some of us will be sharing the scripture reading. I'll ask some others also in the days ahead. Let's start at Genesis chapter 5, verse 16. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I trust that this gives us the first mention of an event like this in our Bibles as far as something to put in our pocket. As we sing this next song, Christ Returneth, let's remain standing and we'll sing verses 1 and 3 of this song also, okay? Thank you. Oh, delight should we go without dying.
Amen.
Yay. I look forward to that. If that is within God's sovereign plan for my lifetime or your lifetime. If not, I'll go anyway. Actually, if I have been buried, I'll go first. So there it is. I am looking forward to this. Actually, as I've been preaching through 1 Thessalonians, I've looked forward to this very much. This portion that we're in today, the last couple of verses of chapter 4 in 1 Thessalonians. In our scripture reading today, Enoch was taken by God in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, and never faced physical death. Wow. This is what Hebrews 11 says of Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. There's the challenge. It doesn't depend on our pleasing God. However, that ought to be our desire. This ought to motivate us, to drive us to please God. So three times in this verse in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 5, three times the word translation or translated shows up. It is metathesis in the Greek, and this verse about God taking good old Enoch up to heaven, the word means to transfer or to transport, to remove and to change sides from one side to another. That's what the word translated means. Many sci-fi books and, of course, movies depict this. They speak of transporters, you know, and teleporters and portals and all of that, where people or objects can be molecularly taken apart and very quickly reassembled some other place. Well, we know that in the human realm, this is fiction, okay? That's fiction. I know a fellow named who says he got saved when Peter Ruckman was preaching about aliens. So don't go around telling that I was preaching today about sci-fi stuff, okay? Please don't do that. What happened to Enoch was not sci-fi. It wasn't fiction. It really happened, and it was unique. It was very unique. It was a miracle done only by the power of God. And we don't have record of it happening again for over 3,100 years, but it did happen again. 3,100 years later, in the days of Elijah, we read this in 2 Kings chapter 2. I'll read verses 9 through 11. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass as they went on and walked and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. God took Enoch, and God took up Elijah 3,100 years later. These are unique things in history and in the Bible, and the concept of God taking some before they experience physical death is not foreign to God's word. We find it in several places, including our text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You might as well go there. We'll be there in just a moment. It is not common, though, but it is something that's not foreign to God's word. And as we just read, Enoch disappeared, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind. The means are not the same. Into heaven. Neither were teleported, by the way. God took them up. So it will be in our text today. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do look forward to this time that may be even today. But however long you tarry, we realize we have the opportunity to share our faith and the truth of the gospel with others. For there are many that would not be taken up at this time without first having understood the gospel and believed in Christ. And we don't want that for anyone. We all have loved ones. We all have friends and neighbors that would not be taken up. And Father God, I ask you that you'd use us to, with enthusiasm, share with them that they can have an eternal assurance that they'll ever be with the Lord once they leave this body in one way or another. Father God, I ask you too that as we consider this verse and the next one today, that the Holy Spirit would do the work, that your word would be received with gladness and instruction and change of heart. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. While we take this passage that I just read, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, in its context, that's first of all, we take it in its context. Secondly, we treat this passage literally or naturally in its grammar and syntax, meaning that the normal understanding is what God intends for us to believe. I don't know if I need to repeat that, but there are many people that do not take these things literally, normally, in its context, in its grammar, in its syntax. They want to change it. So I take this at face value. I take this as what it says. God says those in Christ will someday be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so it will be. I don't make any apology or excuse for that. The Bible says it, so I believe it. It will really happen. This is not some metaphor. It is not a fanciful allegory. And it is not a special Greek idiom, as Roberts says, if you do commentaries. It will really happen. Now, if you move to a big city someday and try a church that mocks and explain away the coming literal rapture of believers off the earth, go find a different one. Amen. Find a good Bible-teaching church where the folks are not ashamed to proclaim the prophetic truth called the rapture. Most liberal churches avoid it altogether. It's too conflicting, and they don't want that, so they avoid it altogether. Most covenant churches mock or make fun of it, of the rapture teaching, and the cults either deny it or say it's already happened in some form, like our Seventh-day Adventist friends. For us, the Bible says it, and that settles it. So I believe it. I know some have in the past said, the Bible says that I believe it, so that settles it. No, whether I believe it or not doesn't settle it. God settled it when he said it. So I believe it based on that. This is going to be a meeting with the Lord in the air, and I'm looking forward to that. 587 in our hymnals is titled, The Meeting in the Air. Let's look at that. 587. In our hymnals. Sing it with me. 587, the meeting in the air. There's going to be a meeting in the air in that sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you over there in that land beyond the sky. That's the singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. It will be glorious when we are there. And God's own Son will be the leading one in the meeting in the air. Whoever wrote that knew 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And that, he took it literally. I'm going to meet you, greet you over there. Who? Who are we going to meet and greet over there? Who? So the first on our outline, there's one, an outline on the back of your bulletin, is the people of the meeting. Who are the people of the meeting? Verse 16 says the dead in Christ will rise first. All who have placed saving faith in Jesus Christ, his sacrificial death, his shed blood for their sins, his bodily resurrection on the third day, just as the Bible says, of course, verse 14 says, if or since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So those who have believed in Christ and died will be part of this. This group of people that will meet the Lord in the air. And that group of people, let me try to place some timing on all of this, who have died from the day when Christ rose again, having believed in his literal bodily resurrection, until this meeting in the air, will be included. Okay? That's who. But that's not all. There will be a generation of people who will be living and in Christ at this moment through saving faith in him, who will meet them in the air too. So two groups will meet the Lord in the air. Some say that believers from all ages will be there, but there are quite a few difficulties with that thought. Verse 14 gives the qualifier, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. The Lord's resurrection was at the end of the New Testament Gospels. So it is from that point forward. We've already seen that Old Testament saints, we call them believers in the Old Testament times, will be raised by the Lord at the very beginning of the kingdom. We've already explored that. They will be given covenant promises, and those promises will be fulfilled in the kingdom of God in the future. And by the way, tribulation saints, what about them? Who will be martyred in the future will also be raised at the beginning of the kingdom. So they won't be raptured with those in Christ in our text. They will be raised after the tribulation time. It also stands to reason that a mid-tribulation rapture or a pre-wrath rapture view does not fit. For some will have already died in the early part of the tribulation. And of course, at the midpoint of the tribulation, if the rapture took place, it doesn't fit the scenario. So at any rate, the people of this meeting in the air will not be unbelievers and will not be Old Testament saints, nor will they be from the future tribulation time, but they will be from the time of the Lord's resurrection until the event takes place we call the rapture. And since the church, or the body of Christ, started right after our Lord's resurrection, and the church is not mentioned in the tribulation, as Alan pointed out this morning, Revelation chapters 4 through 19 do not mention the church. The people of the meeting will be the church. That's the simple answer. The people of the meeting will be the true church, true, genuine believers in Jesus Christ. Those who die and those who are alive and remain. By the way, this meeting in the air will be the second time that the whole true church will ever meet. The first time was the day the church began, on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Those believers were added unto the church. The Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved, Acts chapter 2. They all met together for that first day, they were all together. And we learned there were about 3,000 of them. But when we meet the Lord in the air, I have no idea, but I am glad to say it'll be more than 3,000 will meet him in the air. The second meeting of the church. Now, there are people that deny the need for a local church like this. But our Bibles, just think, 1 Thessalonians was written to a local church. A lot of the New Testament was written to either pastors or local churches. And so we don't downplay the need for the local church. But they want to get the whole church together worldwide, and you can't do it. Not until we meet in the air. Then the whole church will be together for the second time in all of history. Will you be at that meeting? I found this by Warren Risby. He said, I once saw a quaint inscription on a gravestone in an old British cemetery not far from Windsor Castle. It read, pause, my friend, as you walk by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. Prepare, my friend, to follow me. And he said, I heard about a visitor who read that inscription, that epitaph, and added these lines. To follow you is not my intent, until I know which way you went. Will you be there at that meeting in there? If you're not absolutely sure, you better make absolutely sure today, because that meeting in the air could still be this afternoon or whenever. Next on our outline, the first one is the people of the meeting. The second is the power of the meeting. What do I mean by that? The power of the meeting. That sounds odd. Well, the words shall be caught up is one Greek word. It is harpazo, and it is used by New Testament writers 17 times. It means to seize by force. That's what it means, to seize by force. That's why I use the word power, the power of the meeting. It will be seized by force. It won't be that we can kind of drag our feet in this thing. Well, we wouldn't want to, but still, it's God that does it. Let's see the use of that definition of harpazo. Go to John chapter 6, verse 15. John chapter 6, verse 15. In John chapter 6, of course, Jesus is talking to Pharisees. Verse 15, Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force, that's harpazo, to make him a king. He departed again into a mountain by himself. That was after the feeding of the 5,000. Sorry, I didn't remember the context quite right. After the feeding of the 5,000, they would take him by force. That's harpazo in the New Testament. It also means, in its definition, to catch away speedily. So to seize by force, and it'll happen how fast? We learned that last week. 11 hundredths of a second. To catch away speedily. The use of that is in Acts 8, verse 39. So in Acts chapter 8, Philip led a fellow from Ethiopia to Christ and baptized him. In verse 38, they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. That is harpazo. That the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. It was speedily. It was instantaneous. It wasn't some slow rising. At any rate, I find this one interesting. Let's go to John chapter 10, back a few pages in your Bibles. A use of the word harpazo in John chapter 10. You remember Jesus is talking about his sheep know him, and they follow him. Okay, John 10, verses 28 and 29. Jesus said, I give unto them, my sheep, from the previous verse, eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man harpazo them out of my hand. No one is capable, no one is powerful enough to snatch or pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand either. By the way, that's part of the reason I used the power of the meeting in our outline. pluck. It is an impossible thing because no one has the power to pluck or harpazo someone out of God's hand. No one has that power but God himself. There are several more, but you get the picture. It takes the power of God Almighty to seize or pluck or catch away and catch up all those who are in Christ. Millions will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, and that's about 11 hundredths of a second, and caught up or snatched off the earth between, and to be with the Lord Jesus, that takes power. So the power of the meeting. It is the Latin word rapto, and we get our English word rapture from that Latin translation of harpazo. Just think, some pilots will instantly change places from the cockpit to the clouds. That's pretty fresh for me. Right now, yesterday, I was in the air in a small, in a 172, a Cessna 172 with a friend named Mike. Mike's a believer. And so I wasn't even worried. If Mike was caught up to meet the Lord in the air right then, out of the cockpit, out of the captain's seat, so would I have been. And I guess there would, because my our son Jason is a believer, and so is our grandson Bridger, who joined us. I got to baptize Bridger. That was fun. Now, that doesn't save him. Because he believed in Christ, I was glad to be asked to baptize Bridger. At any rate, that would have been an empty aircraft, and of course it would have gone down somewhere. But we wouldn't care about that. A parent or a spouse may seem to disappear from the house or a car. What a nightmare for the family members who are not in Christ. A chainsaw may be found still running at the base of a tree. Sink water still running. Cars idling in the ditch. Maybe, mark my words, just maybe a lawyer will leave the courtroom and his legal pads fall to the floor. Maybe. I know. When Chris White was in attendance, I got away with a lot of that. He loved lawyer jokes. Chris, of course, was a some of you may not even remember the name. At any rate, yes, he was a lawyer, and he said there truly are very few saved lawyers. That's what Chris said. Anyway, I got my lawyer joke in for the day, I guess. You get the picture. The meeting will only take place by the power of God. Thirdly, the place of the meeting. Once again, we take this at face value. God says what he means. It will be in the air where we meet in the clouds. Yesterday was clear skies over in northeast Montana, and it seemed like there was not a cloud in the sky as we flew into the rising sun. But it doesn't have to be partly cloudy. I had to think about that. It could be clear skies. It could be during the it doesn't have to be during the daytime. It could be at night for us. We could be changed and transported by the power of God to any place within the earth's atmosphere, anywhere around the world, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. No problem for God. Some say that I believe it really will be in the atmosphere, okay? Some say the clouds may be clouds of believers. And I've studied that, and that's an interesting study. You can do that for yourself. Well, Hebrews 11 tells of many faithful believers out of the Old Testament age in chapter 11. Chapter 12 starts with these words, Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, I'll read that again. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It's an intriguing theory. But 1 Thessalonians 4:17 speaks of meeting the Lord in the air also. So I believe he means the atmosphere. That's what I believe. Yet the precious picture is to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Not the air, not the clouds. That's not the point of it. The real and the best place is in his presence forevermore. So shall we ever be with the Lord, verse 17 says in our text. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He is the person of the meeting. He's the one. The last point of the outline. He's the person of the meeting. John 14:3 says, I go and prepare a place for you. Jesus said this. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He's the person of the meeting. It'll be a joy to, we talk about giving each other high fives on the way up. It'll be so fast, I'm not sure that we'll be able to do that. But at any rate, the real meeting in the air will be the person of Christ. That's who we look forward to meeting. He will be our focus, not the sky, not the clouds, not the resurrected believers, not each other, certainly not things on the earth. Certainly not things on the earth. But Christ will be the person of the meeting. Are you listening and prepared for his coming? Last week we saw there will be three sounds, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. Are you listening for his coming? Are you prepared for his coming? Paul ends what we know as 1 Thessalonians 4. The reason I say that is chapter divisions weren't in the scroll that the Apostle Paul penned by the inspiration of God. But the end of chapter 4, and by the way, this context continues on into chapter 5. We'll see that. Paul ends what we know as chapter 4 with these words. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Thank you, Ellen. Dr. Kober, one of my professors, elaborated a little bit on that verse. He said, if the rapture of the church, or the snatching up or taking up of the believers off this earth, would take place any time after the tribulation began, it would sound more like this. Paul would have written it this way: wherefore, scare one another with these words. That was my professor. At any rate, we don't have to be afraid. God does not want us to fear this. He wants us to be comforted by it. I know there are so many people, I've met several here in Tobacco Valley even, that fear they will have to live through the tribulation in the future. So they have generators and buried containers, and it's almost as if they live in panic. God does not want that for us. He doesn't. He wants us to comfort one another with the blessed hope. To wrap up, let's go to Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. Are you ready? This is what Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 emphasize. If ye then be risen with Christ, that's a way of saying, if you are absolutely, genuinely born again through faith in Christ, if you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You're dead to this world if you're a believer. You're hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. This teaching should affect how we live and what we think about and what we set our affection on. We deal with things on the earth every day, but we can deal with the things on this earth a lot better if we have our affection on things above, not on things on this earth. That's what God wants for us while we wait for his coming. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. God has a plan, and we can trust it. It really will take place. And instead of having anxiety attacks, he wants us to be comforted and have a joy and a peace that passes understanding. Is that yours? If not, trust him. Place all your faith and absolute trust in him. If you need to talk with me about that, that's one of the reasons Valley Baptist Church exists. We want you to know those things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do thank you so much that we have promises from you, and we know you're in your holy deity, never, ever able to break a promise. And we know that these things will really come to pass. And whether it's soon or not so soon, we believe your word indicates that it will be soon. Father God, I ask you that it would be a comfort to us and that we would be able to maneuver or navigate through life's trials in this world, realizing that this is temporary. And once we're with the Lord, that's eternal bliss and glory. And Father, I ask you that you would do a work in anyone's heart, their mind, who is not absolutely sure that they'll meet the Lord in the air. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Open our songbooks to How Great Thou Art. And we're just going to sing verses 1 and 4. How great thou art. Why would I go to 28, how great thou art? You'll see in just a moment, okay? I had a purpose in this. Let's sing verse 1 and verse 4. We'll sing it a cappella, okay?
Verse 1 of How Great Thou Art, verse 28. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider
Savior God to thee, how great thou art.
what we'll proclaim when we're with him. Have a great afternoon. Look forward to seeing all who can come tonight.
Valley Baptist Church has multiple services. Sunday school is at 9:45 a.m. The morning service is at 11 a.m. The evening service starts at 6 p.m. There's also a Wednesday night Bible study at 6 p.m. Additional men and women Bible studies are also conducted on a regular basis. Other activities include monthly potluck meals, monthly men's breakfasts, and much more. Valley Baptist Church is located at 64627 Highway 37, and that's in Eureka, Montana. Our phone number is 406-889-3134. Thank you for joining us for this audio sermon.